Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're digging into something you probably have in your kitchen right now. The bay leaf.
That's right. And our way in is this piece, Chef's Spice Dress Newsletter, #2bayleaves, by Mark J. French.
Yeah, and what really grabbed me about it was how personal it felt. You know, it's not just facts. It's his experience mixed with chef know-how.
Exactly. You really feel he's lived with this ingredient from, like, his childhood bay tree memories right through to using it professionally.
Totally. It gives it this richness.
Mm-hmm.
And he kicks off with that lovely story about the family bay tree turning into this, quote, huge tree.
Yeah. And his mom's pate.
With the fresh bay leaf on top. Always. Yeah. It just makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Even common stuff has these, like, hidden depths.
Absolutely. Layers of history and use. We just, you know, walk past in the spice aisle.
Right. And that's kind of our mission here. Get past just tossing it in the pot and really understand this herb. So where do bay leaves even come from?
Well, botanically, it's Laurus nobilis, and it originates in the Mediterranean region. But what's fascinating is its role in ancient Greece and Rome.
Right. It wasn't just for cooking then.
No, not at all. It was a massive symbol. Wisdom, victory, even protection.
That's where the laurel wreaths come in. For poets and emperors and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Think poet laureate. That tradition comes directly from the laurel wreath, the symbol of highest honor.
Wow. So it had this huge cultural weight.
Mm-hmm. But interestingly, they were also using it in the kitchen back then.
Oh, really? How?
The Romans were flavoring their broths, their stews with bay leaves. So it had this dual life, you know, symbolic and practical.
For thousands of years then.
Mm-hmm.
From emperors' heads to Roman soup pots, quite a journey.
It really is.
So fast forward to today. When we grab a bay leaf, what are we actually dealing with? What are its key features?
Okay, so usually you see these glossy, dark green leaves. They're sold whole, either fresh or more often dried.
Right, and the smell.
The aroma is subtle but complex. It's kind of floral, herbal. But listen closely, you might get hints of eucalyptus.
Eucalyptus. Interesting.
Yeah, maybe some clove, even a little minty note. It's more layered than you'd think.
I'll have to sniff more carefully next time. So how did that translate into taste?
Flavor-wise, it's mildly bitter, but the key thing is the depth it adds, especially when you cook things low and slow.
Ah, so it builds flavor over time.
Precisely. It's foundational. Mm-hmm. And fresh versus dried is important, too.
How so?
Fresh leaves are much punchier, almost sharp sometimes. Dried ones are subtler, more mellow, and they keep for ages, obviously.
That makes sense. And the newsletter mentioned something crucial. You have to take them out before serving, right?
Oh, absolutely. Essential tip. They stay tough no matter how long you cook them.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't want to bite into one of those.
Definitely not pleasant. They're there purely for infusion, like a tea bag. You take it out when the job's done.
Got it. Flavor packet, not food. So where do chefs rely on it most? What are its big culinary hits?
It's really a bedrock aromatic in so many places. Think basic soups, stocks, stews, bay leaf is almost always in there.
Giving that background note.
Exactly. That subtle backbone. Also indispensable for braised meats, long-simmered sauces.
And the bouquet garni, of course.
Can't forget the bouquet garni. That classic French herb bundle nearly always has bay.
A little flavor hero. But it's not just French food, is it?
Oh, no. Far from it. You find it in pickling liquids. It adds a nice complexity there.
Yeah.
And the newsletter points out its role in global dishes. Think Indian biryani or Filipino adobo.
Right. He mentions pot-au-feu from France and Filipino menudo specifically.
Yeah, showing that versatility across completely different flavor profiles.
It's amazing, really. One leaf, so many uses. What does it pair well with?
It gets along with a lot of things. Chicken, lamb, beef are classics.
Mm-hmm.
It's great with tomatoes, cuts through the acidity, adds depth. Root veggies, lentils, brings an earthiness.
And other herbs.
Yeah, works well with garlic, rosemary. The usual suspects, even wine and cooking sauces.
So it's kind of a team player building the overall flavor structure.
Perfectly put. Now, the newsletter also touches on health benefits and other uses, too.
Oh, yeah. Like what?
Well, nutritionally, they've actually got quite a bit going on. Antioxidants, anti-inflammatory compounds.
Really? In a bay leaf?
Yeah. Plus vitamins like A, C, B6, and minerals folate, calcium, magnesium.
Wow. Okay. So potential health perks.
The piece mentions things like potentially aiding digestion, maybe helping heart health, possibly regulating blood sugar.
Yeah, interesting. But probably needs more research, like you said.
Exactly. These are areas of interest, traditional uses, but you always need more solid studies for firm conclusions.
Still, good to know.
Yeah.
Any other, like, traditional uses?
Well, bay oil has been used sometimes in salves, you know, for joint pain or breathing issues.
Topically, then.
Right. And then there's the insect repellent thing.
Oh, yeah. Does that work?
Apparently, putting dried leaves in cupboards or pantries is an old trick to deter pests. Natural repellent.
Huh. From flavor to health to bug control. That's quite the CV for a leaf.
It really is.
Okay, let's get to the fun facts. Any weird beliefs or cool stories?
Well, remember the Roman soldiers?
Yeah.
They apparently believed bay trees could ward off lightning.
No way.
Yeah, and evil spirits, too. Standing under one in a storm was considered good luck.
Wow. Lightning protection from a tree. That's some serious faith. Anything else?
Just the amazing lifespan of some bay trees. Some are over 100 years old and still producing leaves you can cook with.
Incredible. Like using a piece of living history in your stew.
Kinda, yeah.
Now, Mark French gives a specific chef's tip. What does he recommend?
Couple good ones. First, he says to lightly crush dried bay leaves before using them.
Why is that?
Helps break them down a bit, releases more of those aromatic oils, more flavor bang for your buck.
Makes sense. Just gently wake it up. What's the other tip?
This one's for tomato sauces. He suggests toasting the bay leaf in a dry pan for just like 30 seconds.
Toasting it?
Yeah, before adding it to the sauce. Apparently, it coaxes out even more essential oils, makes the sauce richer.
Ah, like toasting spices?
Mm.
Always seems to deepen the flavor. Gotta try that.
Definitely worth a shot.
And he features a recipe too, right? To showcase the bay leaf.
He does. Pork adobo. Classic Filipino dish.
Oh, I love adobo. What are the key players in his version?
Pork belly, naturally. Then vinegar, soy sauce, garlic, and crucially, a good amount of bay leaves.
Mmm. Pork belly, vinegar, soy, garlic, bay. Sounds amazing. What's the flavor like?
Deeply savory, tangy from the vinegar, really aromatic, maybe a hint of pepperiness. The bay leaves are key to that whole aromatic profile.
Sounds incredible. And to wrap it all up, there's that quote he includes.
Ah, yes, the quote. It's anonymous, but it says, "A good stew without bay leaves is like a story without a soul."
That's pretty profound for a leaf.
Isn't it? It really captures how these supporting ingredients add that essential character.
Yeah, it really does. So summing up this deep dive, the bay leaf is way more than just, you know, that dried thing in the jar.
Absolutely. It's got history, complex flavor, global reach, even these other potential uses and interesting lore.
It's easy to overlook the little things, isn't it? But they often make a huge difference. Hopefully, this gives everyone a new appreciation for it.
Exactly. It makes you think about what else is hiding in plain sight in the spice rack.
Totally. So maybe next time you're cooking, think about those other minor ingredients. What kind of soul are they bringing to your food stories? Definitely something to chew on.
Nicely put.
And, hey, if you want to explore more from the chef who got us thinking about all this, Mark J. French, remember, he's got this cool background as a hotelier, chef, consultant, author, splitting time between the UK and Philippines. Blends classic and global stuff.
Yeah, his work seems really interesting if you want to dive deeper into flavor.